our reaction to any such threat by evil groups, especially groups that are killing people without mercy, and it's clear. One, that Nigeria is a very big and integrated country. There is no part of this country where you don't have different tribes, different religions, different cultures living there. If you go to South Nigeria, you will shock the number of Muslims that are living in southern Nigeria. So there is no community in Nigeria that is not mixed. So anybody asking any citizen to live where he chooses to live, which is the freedom of every Nigerian to live wherever they live within their own country, you know that that call could not have been coming from any decent person. So therefore, my message is this. Nigerians of all tribes and religions should unite to confront evil. That call is not coming from Muslims. That call is not coming from Northerners. I'm a Northerner. We are all mixed here. So I can assure you, if you listen to what the leader of Nigerian Muslims said last week, that is the Sultan of Sokoto, he made it very clear that Muslims do not support Boko Haram. That he's not speaking on behalf of, they are not speaking on behalf of Muslims. He's the leader of Muslims in Nigeria. Christians also know that Boko Haram does not represent Islam. Like I told everybody who has ears to hear, terror seeks to divide society so that they will be posing as leaders of one faction or the other. We know that they don't represent any faction in Nigeria. They only represent what is evil. And we're calling upon them to repent. If they are true Muslims, they should repent and face God and come back. But as far as Nigeria is concerned, the government of the Federal Republic of Nigeria, led by President Goodluck Jonathan, is determined, capable, and will never leave any stone to secure the unity of Nigeria against all evil groups. I can assure you that Nigerians will not leave to anywhere. Let me add that even within northern Nigeria, in the whole of the north, in every state, there are indigenous Christians who didn't come from the south. They live here. So it's not as if you are asking some strangers to leave. In every community, there are indigenous Christians and there are indigenous Muslims. And in some places, there are even traditional worshippers. So to ask anybody to leave his community, you know, the person will respond. The Christians in the north didn't come from the south. The Christians in the north are northerners. They live in their villages. They live in communities. So the question of anybody leaving does not arise.
Minister Maku, there have been concerns that people are using the name of Boko Haram to create instability and that politicians are benefiting from their security challenges. What will your government do in this instead to curb such occurrences?
Well, you know, because we are a government, we cannot work on speculations to say that some people or politicians are using Boko Haram. Well, we have also had a lot of these speculations. But the reality of today is clear that there cannot be any serious politician in Nigeria that is a leader, so-called, and is a politician, that will want to use an evil group to kill human beings. Because politicians depend on vote and human support to come to power. So if you go and sponsor a group that is a terror group to kill people, and you call yourself a politician, clearly you're not a politician. Every politician seeks peace. He wants to win the next election. And you can't win the next election in a large federation like Nigeria, which is made up of different cultures, different religions, if you identify with a terror group. So if indeed there are politicians who go, we do not know. We cannot rule out things we do not know. But if there are politicians that are really using them, then definitely we call on those politicians to realize that Nigeria is so large, is so complicated, is so complex, that they can only realize their ambition in peace and solidarity within the federation. Any politician that is identified with this cause has failed in politics from the beginning. Politics is about development. And I can tell you this. There may be opportunistic groups who look at what is happening as if it will give us. It cannot be of advantage to any politician. That is the way I see it. So we are calling on all our leaders to unite. And we don't want speculations. And like I told you last week, we are leaders in Nigeria. We know our responsibility to Africa as the largest concentration of black people in any single nation. We know our responsibility to West Africa. We know our responsibility to ourselves. We also know our responsibility to the black population all over the world. We will defend the unity of our country to death.
Minister Maku, so are you asking people in northern Nigeria who are facing this ultimatum to ignore the threat by
Boko
Haram?
We have already told the security agencies, the police, the army, they have already called on our population to completely ignore this threat. And we are calling on every community to unite. You will say Muslims and Christians are fighting in Nigeria. There is no war between Muslims and Christians. There is only war on Muslims and Christians by an evil group, which has killed both Christians and Muslims in the last 1.5 years. sometimes even more Muslims than Christians. So the reality is, anybody who believes in God knows that to go and kill a human being is completely against any concept of God, whether it is traditional worship or Islam or Christianity or Buddhism or Hinduism. Anything that takes a human life is against God. So these people cannot claim to be speaking for God. They can't. So we're appealing to Nigerians to defend their right to live wherever they are. And definitely, I assure you that it will not be as been proclaimed.
Minister Maku, people have expressed concern about the government's decision to withdraw fuel subsidies. How is your government handling this issue to help the ordinary Nigerian adversely affected by this move?
Yes, you know, it is very painful for government at this time to deregulate the downstream sector of the oil industry. It's a very painful decision. Nobody is happy with it. We in government are not happy with it. We lamented over it for more than 1.5 years, looking for every option available to avoid it. There are no options. The truth of the matter, as we have continued to dialogue and discuss with our citizens at different levels, is that our country is facing a very difficult economic predicament. In the first instance, we have oil for 53 years. We have not been able to refine it because government has controlled the price mechanism on fuel. There is nobody that has gotten a license to establish a refinery that can get money from any bank, because you need to prove that you are going to make profit. You are going to sell your fuel in the market and make profit before anybody can give you a facility to establish a big oil business. For this reason, government control has killed the sector. How can a big country like Nigeria with huge oil reserve go and be refining crude oil in Asia and Europe and bring it back and sell at home? Government took a look at this decision. Meanwhile, our young school leavers are waiting for jobs. So the only way to go about this, as we have seen, as is happening all over the world, you live in America. You know that government does not refine oil or sell oil in the petrol stations. You live in Europe. You know that it's not government that is refining oil in Europe or selling petrol at the filling stations. It's businessmen that do so. So we want to return this sector to businessmen, no matter where they come all over the world, in order to develop it. And that is exactly what government has done. As to the short-term pains that all of us are going through, we sympathize with our citizens. We have taken measures to address these short-term pains, particularly the vulnerable. Government is embarking in support for mass transit in all the major cities by giving vehicles and buses, you know, to transporters at no interest rate, so as to, you know, immediately reduce profiteering and the high cost in transportation. We are also tackling the railways. Already the railway is working in many parts of the country. We want to make sure it works all over the country as an alternative for mass transit. We are working on that. We are also trying to look at the prospect of creating jobs for the jobless, because the whole thing about the regulation is to develop, to allow Nigeria to become a hub for manufacturing, refining of fuel products, so that then we can employ our youths, you know, who are waiting for jobs. They were also using the money to support youth directly, you know, through support for youth employment. We have different schemes which we have announced to Nigerians. And in order to make sure that the public know that government means it, what we have done is to set up an independent trust to manage the accruals from this subsidy. Government is not spending it directly. And we know very well all over the world that you cannot, in a poor economy like Nigeria, use one-third of a national budget to subsidize a single item when you are in need of infrastructure, you are in need of employment. So we have to support production. We will subsidize, but we believe we should subsidize productive activities to regenerate the industry, create jobs, increase earnings for the country, and then we'll have enough money to go around for our people to be happy. So this temporary period of pain, we understand it. We understand it with our citizens. We are not angry with them. We will ask them to understand that we as a government will not want to punish them. We want them to know that their interest is what we are pursuing and that the future of our country is what we are pursuing. And I know it will be better. Then last year, you know, we did minimum wage for our workers. You know, we increased salaries across the board because we knew the situation we are in. So we are facing a domestic debt burden of about 5 trillion naira. And we use more than 500 billion annually to service these debts. So the president and all of us took a look at the statistics. The only way we can continue to go to the banks and continue to borrow money, then we'll go the same way the United States has gone. We'll go the same way that Greece has gone. We'll go the same way that Spain has gone. We'll go the same way that the European Union has gone. Even stronger countries are now understanding that there is a limit to what a government can do if it continues to pile up debt to run the domestic economy. So we are taking this decision because when the economy crashes on us, the protests will be worse than we're seeing now. It will be worse. So we are taking a measure to prevent a collapse in the economy that will generate more difficulties for the citizens. So leaders are not there to take only nice decisions. Sometimes we are faced with the bad option of taking the difficult decisions which we politicians so we must take to save our countries. We don't want to play politics with what is going on in the country. If it's in the best interest of Nigeria, we will take measures to at least alleviate the suffering of our people in the temporary period of this difficulty.
I read an article that said that when you were a youth leader at the university, you championed against the removal of fuel subsidies. And now that you are in government, you are championing for it. They are basically calling you of selling out the people of Nigeria when you advocated strongly against it.
Let me tell you this. In the first instance, leadership is about being pragmatic to address the problems of your country as you see them. You remember that Deng Xiaoping was part of Mao Revolution. You know, they brought the Cultural Revolution to China and made anything Western look like a sin in China. It's then also that they regulated China and people are calling him a sellout. They said, no, the Chinese economy cannot grow on the basis of government control. Then in the end, when you saw the difficulties, Americans went to convince China, look, open up the economy for everybody to participate. The Chinese took a look at what was happening in the world and decided to take the measures we are taking in Nigeria now. They are a communist country, which Chitato did not allow any private person to invest. The Chinese open up every sector in China. After the abuses of the 1970s, they are revolutionists. Now China is almost overtaking America. It's the second largest economy in the world now. So as a leader, I am supposed to address problems I see that will help my country. It's not a fixation. Even if, for example, I felt that subsidy was working 23-25 years ago, and now as a leader, my country is facing a debt burden. It is facing a domestic problem. It is facing a difficulty that will crash the economy. Are you saying that I should not act in the interest of my people? Is that what you are saying? So this thing is not about me. It's about what will work for Nigeria. So if people have alternative, they should tell us. So I don't want the thing to be personal about me. Whatever I am doing, it is completely out of patriotism and the commitment to the country. So I believe you live in the U.S., you know what it is. Every government is cutting back. Every government in the world is cutting back. So if we don't cut back, we're going to hurt our people. And everywhere we have deregulated, we have increased capacity for people. NITEL was not working. We deregulated. Now millions of people are employed in telecom companies that came into being because of foreign direct investment into Nigeria in the last 10 years. We have grown telecoms by over 90 million lines from about 450 lines in a large country like Nigeria. In cement production, we deregulated. Now we have almost sufficient local production of cement. More people are being employed. In aviation, we deregulated. Our airlines are the ones flying West Africa today. All other government airlines collapsed. So those people who are still hanging on to what happened 30 years ago, 25 years ago, I'm calling on them to look down and see the reality on the ground. Let them join us to develop the country. The thing is not about me. It's about the development of the country. It's about a policy. If it is working, tell us it's not working. If it's not working, give us the alternative. So it's not personal. So I like the fact that you mention it. But I want to assure you that no American leader remains fixated on an issue. You look at what is working. If it's not working, you drop it. That's the point. So those who think that there is an alternative policy, they should present it to us. We discuss it. We should not personalize it. So because we are working out of conviction and in this for the development and greatness of Nigeria.